WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The governor touts a big budget surplus, but critics say Virginia continues to underfund education. Solar power faces some headwinds. And we take a look at the 15-year-old Virginia law that banned smoking in most public places and why it's not being enforced everywhere. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, August 15th. Virginia's general revenue surplus reached $1.2 billion in fiscal year 2024. Governor Glenn Youngkin announced the budget surplus to lawmakers in Richmond on Wednesday. The comments came in a joint meeting of Virginia's House and Senate Money Committees, where revenue reports for the state were updated. Youngkin said the key to the state's success was a both-and strategy, incorporating investment in public services and creating more business opportunities. On the heels of a large budget surplus, Youngkin said he would like to see removal of the car tax or a reduction in the corporate tax rate as options in 2025.
All of these should be opportunities for us to reduce tax burdens on Virginians.
While the governor was happy to share positive news about Virginia's budget revenues, progressive advocates are pushing back on his calls to reduce taxes during the budgeting cycle next year. Freddie Mejia is with the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis. He pointed to a 2023 report from the legislature, which suggested the state continued to underfund public education.
We want to make sure that we're resourcing our communities, and that should be the emphasis for any of the surplus that was discussed this morning.
Governor Youngkin will present his proposed budget amendments in December. Dominion Energy has acquired another offshore wind lease, this one next to and east of the area in the Atlantic where its first 176-turbine wind farm is under construction. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the company's new lease is about 35 miles east of the mouth of Chesapeake Bay. Dominion bid $17.7 million for the lease. The new lease is Dominion's third after it acquired a 40,000-acre lease off the North Carolina Outer Banks last month. Solar power may offer a bright future for Virginia, but some people are throwing shade on the industry. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Bedford County is about to get Virginia's first solar panel manufacturing facility, the latest move in a growing industry. Thomas Turner, a Conservatives for Clean Energy, says it's part of a larger trend in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
In that whole corridor, Bedford, Lynchburg, they've just become like this new hub of industry for alternative energy. And it's just amazing to see that part of Virginia become the leaders. And we saw that with the small nuclear reactors. We saw the Delta Lab project that's been happening in Southwest Virginia. And we're just seeing so many cool things happening in areas of Virginia that you wouldn't expect.
Not everyone is saying that the future is so bright, though. Patrick County in Southwest Virginia recently rejected a utility-scale solar proposal. Skylar Zunk is CEO of Energy Right, and he says many local governments are saying, not in my backyard.
Folks are looking to construct solar farms, solar facilities in Virginia. They're facing a lot of resistance. You know, by our count, close to a third of Virginia counties have created an ordinance or regulatory structure such that landowners cannot bring solar project proposals forward for review.
Supporters say the solar industry offers jobs and tax revenue. Opponents worry about the consequences of clear-cutting and the potential for unsightly industrial spaces, potentially lowering property values. I'm Michael Pope.
Former Virginia Congressman Denver Riggleman has endorsed two Democrats ahead of the November election. One of them, Gloria Witt, is running in his old district, Virginia's 5th. She'll face Republican State Senator John McGuire in November. According to Witt's campaign, Riggleman's endorsement is, quote, a powerful testament to the necessity of crossing party lines. Riggleman was in Congress from 2019 to 2021 when he was ousted by outgoing Congressman Bob Good. Riggleman has also endorsed Kamala Harris for president. Finally today, in December 2009, a new version of Virginia's Indoor Clean Air Act became law. Virginia Public Radio's Craig Wright takes a look at how habits and attitudes towards smoking have changed among Virginians, and how businesses, their patrons, and law enforcement have adjusted in the 15 years since the law went into effect.
It's been long enough now that for some people, smoking in restaurants has always been off limits. For others, just a distant memory. Virginia was resistant. The state's Indoor Clean Air Act didn't ban smoking in restaurants until some 14 years after California became the first state to do so. It's hard to quantify the cause and effect of the law on consumer habits, but statistics in the years since the law took effect do point to a definite trend.
In 2009, the Virginia smoking rate was 20%. The latest rate in 2021, Virginia rate has dropped to 12.44%.
Sarah Burkhead is outreach coordinator of the Virginia Department of Health's Tobacco Control Program.
So we have seen a significant decline in smoking rates, which benefits not only those individuals who have quit using cigarettes or any tobacco product, but also those individuals around them.
And while Virginia has made gains, Burkhead says there's still a long way to go.
The American Lung Association gives a tobacco control report every year, and Virginia receives an F in terms of their indoor air.
That grade is due in great part to the fact that the Indoor Clean Air Act does not apply to 100% of public places.
And so there are a lot of areas that we can still strengthen to support all Virginians.
When the law took effect, most restaurants complied, while other establishments resisted and their patrons protested the change. Even now, after a decade and a half, some establishments still opt to provide a smoking-allowed environment for their customers, including a handful in the Roanoke area.
I do allow it because my patrons do smoke.
Robin Howery is the owner-operator of WR Brews. She says the choice to provide a smoker-friendly environment goes beyond the matter of simple economics.
It is lucrative. Plus, you know, your customers are just like family. They're not strangers off the street. And you treat them like family, and you get the respect in return from them.
Tony Bonds likes his smokes, and he's thankful that places like WR Brews are still around.
It's important when you're having a good time and you're out. You don't want to have to put the pool sticks down to run outside to smoke. Or right after you finish eating, you can just sit there at the table or at the bar and fly up your cigarette.
So how do some establishments fly in the face of the law? Patrol Captain Andrew Pulley of the Roanoke City Police Department.
I don't want to diminish the importance of the health effects of secondhand smoke, but that's not something that's high on our target list, if you will, to go out and proactively enforce.
VDH inspection records, which are kept on file for only 3 years, indicate that some restaurants frequently fall in and out of compliance of the Indoor Clean Air Act.
We've never formed a task force, if you will, to go investigate to make sure everybody's in compliance with this.
The health department and the police operate independently, and Pulley told me that they don't take action unless a formal complaint is made by the public. Should a complaint lead to a violation, the fine is nominal.
The proprietor of the restaurant who fails to comply with the requirements of the section shall be subject to a civil penalty of not more than $25.
Back at WR Brews, Robin Howery hopes it will be left up to the customers to decide.
They know which restaurants and bars are smoking and which are not. And if they want to go to a non-smoking environment, they patronize that bar. There is enough bars and enough alcohol up and down Williamson Road for everybody to get a piece of the action.
The Indoor Clean Air Act has made a difference, but even after the smoke has had 15 years to settle, it has proven to be a law only as effective as its enforcement. I'm Craig Wright.
Full disclosure, the Virginia Department of Health underwrites programming on WMRA. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.